Mr. Gay Wan Gui, Rue 18.
Yes, the person sitting next to me, obviously knew that there were people on the perimeter, on the lookout. It was perfectly safe that the Japanese, even if they found out about the lights showing in the sky, they wouldn't take the trouble to come and see. That it would be full futile to find out what it was all about.
Was the person a settler?
Yeah, pardon?
Was the person who was sitting next to you a settler?
No, I didn't recognize him at all.
Were the people in the gathering that night all Chinese?
Yes, they were all Chinese.
All males?
They're all males, except there were some girls, you know, some young girls, you know. Obviously, some teenage girls.
Did you know whether they were part of the group or were they from the settlement?
That I couldn't see. They may be part of the anti-Japanese army.
Did you know what were the age group of these people like?
They're in the late teens or early 20s. They look very young to me, because they're all slim built, with a few big fellows.
Were they English speaking or Chinese speaking?
Well, mostly Mandarin. Mandarin, and a few Cantonese. Of course, they could converse in Hokkien, some of them.
Could you tell us what was going on the stage?
I can't quite remember that at that time they were acting some plays that were very popular about Japanese torture, catching of women and all these things of occupation and the way the usual thing of the Japanese cruelty. I can't quite remember, but they're all horrible things. Art, injustice and so on,
Played out by the members.
Played out by the members. And a lot of speeches. And sing songs. Singing. Singing and clenching of fists. Marching.
Did you remember who were the ones who gave the speeches?
No, I can't.
What about the songs that they were singing? What kind of songs were they?
I have no idea. Some half. They're Chinese tunes which are unfamiliar to my ears.
The speeches and the play, were they all in Chinese?
Yes. Mandarin.
How long did the whole gathering last?
Well, when I reached the place, it was rather late. It must have gone a long time. I didn't stay till the end. I stayed there for about an hour. Then I moved over. It must have gone on and on and on. I said I had to go back because my family were rather worried. So there were a few chaps who wanted to go back also. So I followed them back. I said, you know the way. Yeah, it got quite easy, I think the two chaps who went with me, they didn't quite know the way. That's why we all got bruised.
The people that went back to you, they were the settlers then?
Must be. They came to a place and departed. I didn't bother to ask questions because I was so frightened in a way. I was thinking to myself, best thing is not to know anything about these chaps. If you don't know, I've read enough spy stories to know that ignorance is bliss. Because even if they tortured me, I wouldn't be able to say anything. Because I really don't know,
You were given freedom to move into the gathering and get out of it anytime you want.
Yeah. Because we were led by, obviously we were led by the people. Otherwise, who would know there was going to be a gathering there? Unless told, yeah?
No trouble getting out of the gathering at all.
Oh, no trouble. They couldn't stop because there was no room, no door, no enclosure, nothing.
How was the atmosphere in the gathering, the attitudes of these people there?
Oh, no noise, quite attentive. Of course, the usual talk and so on, but attentive.
Were they relaxed or tense or how were they feeling?
Well, the people on the stage, when they were acting and they were vigorous, you could see the bitterness and the inspiration they tried to inspire into the audience. You could feel it. I suppose they were not very keen on making too much noise, eh? Shouting and yelling in the middle of a jungle. Eh? Huh? Suppose there was a murmuring, oh, but beyond that, there was no yelling and shouting that could be heard far away. Eh?
What was the audience response to the play and the speeches?
I suppose they have been so used to it that they suppress their anger and hatred. They knew it, you see. Yes, it's what it's supposed to smoke. But I believe a large portion was an explanation of what was going to happen after the war, which I couldn't quite understand.
The speeches.
Was going to happen. They were fairly certain that the Allies were coming, that the Japanese were going to lose the war. They were confident of that. So they were explaining a lot of things which I felt it was a pity I couldn't understand. So I came back, I told my wife that I said the end is quite near.
Did you know why?
As a matter of fact, at one juncture, we heard noises of aeroplane. If I was not mistaken, when I looked up, I saw very big planes with four engines. Obviously, it was B-52, a squadron of B-52, and everybody looked up. And I heard B, America, B. B must be America, huh? I don't know. There was something like that, huh? And must have been B-52 flying over.
Were the people excited?
Quite. But they were so used to controlling themselves in times of danger that they knew how to do it. How to control themselves.
Did you have any idea why the men approached you to go for the gathering?
My wife said because he was grateful that I gave his son the medicine.
The man who approached you was your neighbor?
No, not my neighbor. But I think I caught a glimpse of him. That he was somewhere near the stage giving directions.
He was the one, initially you said you gave the medicine to your neighbor's son.
He was the one. Yes, I think I recognized, I did tell my wife, I thought I recognized him as a man there. He seemed to be quite an important chap, sort of on the stage gesturing and giving directions and so on.
Was he the one who approached you to go to the gathering?
No, somebody else.
So, did you know why you called to the gathering?
I don't know. My wife said it was because he wanted to in a way to show his appreciation.
After this, were there any other times that you were asked to go in for any other gatherings?
No, because after that, not long afterwards, I think the Japanese surrendered there. So it was not necessary.
So that was the only time you were approached and you attended? You mentioned that the anti-Japanese elements also infiltrated the camp to kill traitors.
Yeah.
How would they know who were the people that they are that they were after?
Oh, they have got a lot of undercover agents, you know, all over the place. I mean, you really wouldn't know. That's why I said you cannot trust anybody. The most innocent looking chap might be a very important person in the anti-Japanese army.
Do you remember when did they start coming into the settlement to pick these people up?
In the afternoon, you know, right? And near noon, you know, according to my wife, it was near noon. As a matter of fact, in fact, quite regularly, there were some of these hawker and vegetable sellers who had hand grenades hidden below the vegetables and sweet potatoes. Just in case of trouble, they were ready to hurl. Whenever an opportunity offered itself, they would use them.
Were these members of the anti-Japanese?
Quite obviously, or their agents.
How did you know that they had grenades under their vegetables?
We heard somebody say so.
When did they come into the settlement? Was it right from the beginning when you settled in, or did they come only in a later period?
They must have been there for quite a long time. And Mr. Shinozaki knew that they would be the major obstacle. You see, that was why he told the Japanese authorities to allow the Chinese to be autonomous, to govern the place by themselves. If the Japanese had no hand in the administration of the place, the anti-Japanese people had no reason to be against the Chinese, you see. They had all the reason to support and make the settlement a success, to save the Chinese people of their own race and not of other nationality.
Did the anti-Japanese elements bother the people right from the beginning that the settlement was started? Or did they come in only at the later period?
No, they didn't bother us at all. They were only watching.
Did they come to get those so-called traitors right from the beginning or only in a later period?
I think they must have been there right from the beginning, watching and seeing that as long as they did not cooperate with the Japanese, it was all right. But later they found that they did, you see. They must have done something. In fact, I was told that this chap who got killed several times boasted about his authority, about his being different from others, and showed his power and, you know, pushed his weight about. And he got it.
When did these incidents occur?
As I said already, during the middle period of the settlement, after a year or so.
How many cases did you know of?
I personally knew of three cases. There might be others, I don't know.
Did you have any idea who were these three persons?
No, I have no idea.
Or what were they doing?
One was the, I think one of the chief of the constabulary there, if I'm not mistaken. He was in charge of security over there. I think one was might be in charge of the security of the settlement. I'm not sure, it might be the one.
What about the other two? Did you know what they were doing?
No, I have no idea. Yeah, but they might have been quite important people in the administration.
So they were part of the administrative setup?
I believe so. It must be quite high up. Not ordinary people. Couldn't be.
Could you describe for us how they were being killed?
No, they were just... she said somebody wanted to see one I knew somebody was he was called out of his house, and he was called out in front of the coffee shop. They just opened fire and just killed him like that, just a gang killing. Nobody dared interfere, say.
In front of everybody.
Everybody was asked to, yeah, you all lie down, it's not your affairs, it seemed. So they all lay down flat. See.
Did you have any idea who was the one who opened the fire?
No.
Did those people who witnessed it know whether he was a member of the settlement?
No, even if they knew and could recognize him, they wouldn't say anything. Even to this day, they wouldn't open their mouth.
What about the one that you witnessed? What happened to the person?
No, nobody said anything.
What about the incident that you witnessed?
Who?
The firing of a man.
When I said I witnessed was I saw the man bawling, poof, like that, heard the shot. But later on, saw the other people walked away at their backs. I couldn't see anybody, and they just walked like ordinary people. They didn't even run, they just walked. But that fellow, as if he was bending down at the paddy field looking at something. But later, we saw that he had a hole in his head. Just like that, at a temple.
The person who walked away, was he in uniform?
No. Just a t-shirt.
What about the one that your wife saw?
No, they were all asked to, I don't know what they did, they were all asked to fall flat somewhere. Even if they saw, they wouldn't have seen anything. They were so scared and frightened that they wouldn't have seen anything or wouldn't have recognized anybody.
You mean your wife witnessed the incident at the coffee shop?
I think possibly that's the one, I mean.
Do you remember those people that you met in the jungle? Were all of them wearing uniforms?
Not all. Especially those on the stage and sitting around the stage. Those who marched out from the forest, in jungle green, see.
Any cap?
Oh yes, they had the star cap, red cap. I can't describe the cap, but it's a communist cap.
Any badge on the uniform or on the cap?
That I didn't notice.
Besides these incidents, did these members of the anti-Japanese force ever come into the settlement to ask any one of you for food or other things?
Oh no. They don't have to, you know. Because their people would be unrecognizable. I mean, they would come like ordinary people. You wouldn't know who they are. And they would just take whatever they wanted and take it to the forest.
Do you know whether they disturb any other settlers in the Endow settlement?
No, not that I know of. As a matter of fact, many people were of the opinion that they kept law and order during the period of the intermission period, yeah, of the surrender. Yeah?
Before that, how did the settlers respond to all these incidents of killing? How did they feel about these anti-Japanese members?
Well, they were frightened in a way, as all killings would frighten anybody. But they sometimes were quite not say pleased, no? They were quite satisfied that these people were justifiably wicked and deserved to the justice, that this kind of justice should be meted out to them for helping the enemy. As a matter of fact, most of the people who went to Endau suffered the condition of life because of the Japanese. So if they were the supporters of the Japanese, they were traitors to their own race, see? So most of the people were not too unhappy about it.
Do you remember whether any Japanese ever come into the settlement to settle this, to investigate these incidents?
No. You see, as long as it didn't affect any Japanese lives, they didn't bother very much. They might have investigated the matter, but they knew that this thing occurred so frequently. They tried their best to catch. But from experience, they knew that it was futile. They were the sort of people who would not waste their effort unless it would bring some benefit to themselves. They are very economical in this kind of doing things. They are very clever. They want to do something, they want to see whether the results bring some benefits to them.
Did the administration in Endau do anything about the incidents?
No, they can't do anything about it. Of course, you say you want to arrest his chefs, alright. Now, who wants to do the arresting of these people? Sometimes they can come out right in the open. In fact, there was one case where practically one of them came out and put a revolver on the table and had a dinner and just took the revolver back and walked off. Everybody knows that he was a member of some sort of organization, but nobody dared to come near him.
So the administration did not make any investigation or whatever?
That I don't know. You see, the settlers there, who had nothing to do with administration, were only too happy to be left alone, you see. In fact, we were so afraid to be involved.
Did you hear of any of your fellow settlers who were invited to any gatherings in the forest? Did you get news of that?
Gathering?
That any of your fellow settlers were invited to the gatherings in the forest?
I think my brother-in-law was, but he didn't go. I believe he was. And a few of my friends also, but they didn't go. I don't know why, but perhaps they smelt something fishy. They didn't go. Beyond that, I knew nothing.
Were there a lot of talks among yourselves regarding all these happenings?
After that?
For instance, discussing about the gathering or the incidents?
Well, after that, I told them about this, you see. And they say, my goodness, you took all the risks, you're lucky to escape. And that was all, and we sort of laughed over the matter because everything was over. And true enough, we didn't realize the danger, and I didn't realize the danger until a few days later, a platoon of Japanese soldiers from the garrison nearby jogged along the canal, you know, right behind my plot, you know. They were jogging and singing Japanese songs, eh? My goodness, with the guns, must be loaded, eh? With the guns, they were jogging along, right into the forest area, eh? Obviously trying to investigate what the light was all about, eh? To investigate and find clues, eh? Then I realized that, yes, they were new, all right, they knew what was happening.
Mr. Gay, could you tell us about the organization of the Endow, the administrative body, and how was it run?
That's a bit difficult. Huh? We have the it's run on the city council basis now, the municipal basis now. There's a city council on top, like Mr. G.H. Kett. Huh? Then you've got the treasurer, and you've got the PWD and construction, and they've got the health, the BS departments, the health department, the, you can say the communications department, the supply department, the agricultural department, the land and survey department, allocation of properties and so on, and several securities department, police and so on. And that's about all, generally covers about all the aspects of administration. And justice is, you have got to refer to the chairman, who is usually the president or the head of the city council, Mr. Goldken. He finally decides the difficult cases, instead of the heads of department. The heads of department decide the minor cases concerning their departments, but if it comes to land tenure or misunderstandings about allocation of land and so on, you consult him, and then he'll readjust or discuss about the amount of compensation to make amends for the mistake, error done, and so on and so forth. It was very well organized.
All these departments were housed in the administrative building?
Yes, administrative building.
Do you know who were the people in charge of each department?
No, I really cannot remember their names. So many of them. Only a few of them I can remember.
Were these the same people who were initially responsible for the Endow scheme?
Most of them were initially responsible, like Mr. Most of them were originally responsible. Mr. Lee Chun Sing was a chairman. No ones, huh? Mr. Lee Chun Sing, Tan Hun Siang. Lee Chun Sing, of course, the bank and finance. Tan Hun Siang, agricultural department. Dr. Chen Apo, health department. Mr. Lau, supply department. Mr. Tan Kim Cheong, construction department. And quite a number of people whose names I really can't